On RN, you're listening to The Final Cut. We're talking film. My name's Jason DeRosso. To a Finnish filmmaker now who's just made a movie in neighbouring Estonia about a champion fencer hiding from Stalin's men. The Fencer is a based on a true story drama of an inspirational teacher, set in a time and place where male role models were hard to find. There were few men of his generation left in post-war Estonia, both because of the numbers who died fighting in the Second World War, many as forced conscripts for the Germans, and also because of the persecution that many of them suffered at the hands of the Soviets. The hero in The Fencer, Endel Nellis, played by a stoic Mart Arvandi, is a former fencing champion who's on the run from the KGB when he turns up at a remote school as a physical education teacher. Now, fencing, judging by the reaction of the school's dour communist principal, was regarded as a feudal throwback by the Soviets, but not enough for them to call off an annual children's fencing tournament in Leningrad. Before long, it's clear that Endel will have to face his fears and head back to the lion's den to lead his children in the competition. Director Klaus Harrow, working from a perceptive if predictable script from novelist Anna Heinemar, treats this material with intelligent restraint, making the most of the silences between words and the suspicions between colleagues to evoke the tense atmosphere and paranoia of late-period Stalinism. Against this austere setting, the children, of course, are primed to melt your heart, and they do on a couple of occasions. Formulaic as the film sometimes feels, Harrow, working on his fifth feature, is not a director who takes his audience for granted. The emotional core to The Fencer is strong. Here's Klaus Harrow.
When I first read her script, I was really skeptical. When the producer approached me and said, would you like to read this story that takes place in the 1950s Estonia? I just thought, wow, this is so gloomy. How do I get out of this? And as I started reading, I just thought this was by far maybe the best written screenplay I've read. And it was so beautiful. I just thought if I could do this story, it would be like a gift. And what attracted me in The Fencer was really, it's not a sports movie in that sense. I mean, we did our best to make the fencing look as authentic as possible, and we really work with that. But for me, it's not a film about fencing. It's a film about being a parent. It's a film about children finding a parent and sort of a man reluctantly becoming the parent that he needs to be to these fatherless kids.
Now, your main actor, Mart Arvandi, is a TV host, and I was surprised to learn also a comedian. I was wondering, do you think comics have a particular ability to do drama well? I mean, I do.
I didn't know when I was casting him that he was a comedian. When I first saw him, I thought, well, this is a man who, he looks like a sad and beautiful man with a secret, you know, like Max von Sydow in an old Ingmar Bergman movie. He really looks like a lonely knight, like a sad knight. And then people in Estonia, the crew, would tell me, no, I mean, you've got something's wrong here. He's a comedian, don't you know? And some weeks went by, and then they would pull my sleeve and say, look, he's great. We didn't know he could do dramatic parts. But really, I've done this before that I've chosen an actor who's known for his or her comic abilities and casted them for a serious role. And sometimes comic actors have an ability to sort of put down the guard, put down the shield, and be really open and really 100% vulnerable. And I think that's a beautiful thing to watch in movies, when you feel, I know what this man is thinking, I know where this woman is emotionally. And I think, yes, comedians have an ability to sort of not protect themselves, but really give it all.
Yeah, well, there's a strong tradition, isn't there? I mean, you think of great performances by people like Jerry Lewis in The King of Comedy, but more recently,
Robin Williams.
Exactly. Yeah. Steve Carell, more recently, I think, is a good example as well. And also, Ken Loach used a stand-up comedian in his last film, Daniel Blake. So it seems to be easier for comics to do drama than certainly serious actors to do comedy, I would say.
Yeah, that might be the case. And I think many of these actors who do comedy, they will have done their part of Shakespeare and Chekhov anyway. I mean, certainly the Estonian actors, most of the Estonian actors are in the theater. They don't have casting agents. They don't have agencies. So the way for me to see actors, they didn't have any showreels because they hardly make any movies in Estonia. So the way for me to get to know Estonian actors was really to sit through hours and hours of Estonian language plays where I didn't have a clue what they were saying. And I remember this 3.5-hour play thinking, if this actor can sort of catch my attention for 3 hours, 3.5 hours, even if I don't have a clue what he's saying, he has to be a good actor. So that was a good test for me and for them to test if this is an actor who really sort of has the ability to make you root for him. And yes, I was a wonder to work with these actors. And of course, I was very much depending on them because I said, I don't have a clue about your language. So what I need to do is I need to trust you. And what they would say then is, okay, you can trust us. And they would really take it to heart. They would really make it their business not to be lazy, but to really make an effort to bring this story alive. So I really, but that's how movie making is anyway. Mm. You need to trust your team. You need to trust the cinematographer, the editor. They always have these romantic pictures about directors standing by the camera and like he was shooting the film. But really, a director does nothing. He depends on everybody else. I think it was Krzysztof Kieslowski, the Polish master director, who said that a director is at his best when he has nothing to do, meaning when the crew has sort of taken the story to heart and they're really making it their own. And the director is really like a coach there, seeing to it that everybody comes along and everybody does their job, but he's not really doing their job. They're doing the job and he's just gently letting it move in the right direction.
Yeah, who am I to disagree with the great Kieslowski? I want to ask you about the language, though. Was it hard directing in another language? And excuse my ignorance, but I assumed that Estonian and Finnish might be quite similar, like Spanish
well,
and Italian.
They are related. Yeah, they are related, but it's a little bit like if a Swede hears Icelandic, he will laugh and say, it sounds similar, but I can't understand it. So for me, it was like that. It sounds like children playing with the Finnish language. But the funny thing is that many Estonians who are like in their 40s or older will know Finnish language because there's just the Finnish bay separating Finland in the north and Estonia in the south. It's only a 2 hours boat ride. And so during the Cold War era, 70s, 80s, Estonians would, you know, in secret tune into the Finnish TV stations and they would watch Dallas and Dynasty, they would watch Galactica and Knight Rider, and they thought, okay, this is how life is in the West. They have cars that jump like Michael Knight and they all have, you know, have a whiskey after their job and they live by the swimming pool like J.R. Ewing. And they would watch Finnish TV and they would read the subtitles or see Finnish TV shows and they would learn Finnish. So thanks to this, we would be able to communicate in Finnish or English. Now, with the little kids who didn't know English, we tried with a translator, but that didn't work because the translator, we had a wonderful kid there on set. And when I tried, I mean, what I've learned from directing kids is you need to be very short and very specific and not mess their head with a lot of psychological, you know, explanations. Now, I tried to be really brief and say something like, look, watch this guy and try to figure out if he likes you or not. This was the direction I would give to the kids. And then the translator enters and he starts to translate and he goes on, babadi 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 bab. He goes on for ages. And I was asking somebody, this translator that you got here on set, where did you find him? And they would tell me, oh no, he's not a translator. He's a director. He's studying to be a director. So this guy would actually improve my direction every time with the kids. Now we couldn't have any of that because that would really mess with the kid's head. Meaning he would enter into some other era and doing something else on set, and we just went without translator with some really simple English like, look here, look out, listen. Very simple direction. It's better to have a direct eye-to-eye contact with the kids, even if you don't have a shared language, than to have a shared language but you don't have the connection.
Klaus Harrow, The Fencer, is out now. You're listening to The Final Cut.